Next item on the agenda is Grand Bay Properties LLC 20-0808, Commission Review of Accomack County Wetlands Board August 27, 2020 decision to approve the filling of 20 square feet of vegetated wetlands and 2,397 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands as part of a bulkhead replacement project along Chincoteague Bay.
Hold just a second. Hold, please.
Hi, this is Allison Lay, and I will be presenting on this one as well as the next review case. So we are reviewing two of the Accomack Wetland Board decisions, both of which are in the Captain's Cove subdivision. So I'm going to start out with the review of the Grand Bay properties, and I'll follow up with the Robert Hetzel application, which is about six lots to the south of the Grand Bay properties application.
Okay, just please make sure that we separate those two cases as far as action by the commission or non-action or concern.
Yes.
Thank you.
I will make sure of that.
Thank you.
All right, so as I said, we're going to get started with the Grand Bay Properties application, and this is a review of the Accomack County Wetlands Board decision to approve this project. Next slide, please. So this slide starts the information that was presented at the Accomack Wetland Board meeting for this application. The project is located near Greenbackville on Chincoteague Bay and is in the Captain's Cove subdivision. Next slide. This is an aerial view of the project site. The three lots are outlined in red. They are bordered by Chincoteague Bay on one side and a dirt road and then a lagoon behind that on the other side. Next slide. This is a diagram that was presented by the Wetland Board staff showing the length of the bulkhead for the three separate lots. Staff showed that there are eight portions of the bulkhead of various lengths that are still standing, but the rest of the bulkhead has failed and been destroyed. Next slide. This image shows the difference in the shoreline between 2013, which is on the left side, and 2016, which is on the right side. You can see some failure in 2013, but even further failure in the 2016 aerial shot. Next slide. These are photos that were taken on site. You can see that the bulkhead has failed and that both mean high water and mean low water are landward of the existing bulkhead alignment. Next slide. These are some more photos from the project site, just getting some different views of the bulkhead and of the water that is now behind the bulkhead, as well as the wetland vegetation. Next slide. Another couple of photos from the site. Next slide. And a couple of more photos showing the similar things as the other photos. Next slide. These are photos that were submitted at the July meeting, and they were submitted by the applicant. So these photos show similar things as the photos that were taken by the Wetland Board staff. You do see a house in one of these photos. That is a house that was constructed nearby to these lots, but that lot is not located along Chincoteague Bay. It is a landward lot. And, next slide. This shows just a couple of more photos that were submitted by the applicant. Next slide. This is a survey of the three lots that was submitted just before the August meeting. The survey shows the mean low water and mean high water lines. but it does not show the 1.5 times the tide range line, which was requested by the board at the July meeting. And you can also see the portions of the bulkhead in brown that are still standing, and then the gaps in between those. Next slide. This is a cross-section drawing that was submitted with the original application, and it does show that fill is proposed behind the bulkhead, which they also proposed to construct within the same footprint as the existing failed bulkhead. Next slide. We did receive VIM's comments on this application. They recommended that the remaining bulkhead pieces be removed and that the current shoreline be stabilized by placing a stone breakwater at the center of the site with two stone spurs to the north and south that tie into the adjacent bulkheads. Although the fetch is long, this type of nearshore breakwater living shoreline can be successfully designed and employed in high energy environments. Next slide. So this goes over some of the specific deliberations that happened during the first meeting, which was in July. So it started off with the agent for the project, Mr. Norman Pitt, giving an overview of the project. He stated that the lots were purchased as investments with the intention of them being buildable lots. The staff to the Wetlands Board, Chris Governator, then commented that no lots can be deemed buildable, but each site plan is evaluated before construction of a structure. A member of the public, Mr. John Ward, did make a comment during the public hearing. He asked about the status of the construction of Seaview Street, which is the street that these lots are located on, and Mr. Governator stated that the application was submitted but was found to be incomplete and is still in the process. The board then discussed the VIMS report and problems with constructing a bulkhead at this site. The board then discussed their jurisdiction over the project. They determined it was unclear where the mean low water and mean high water lines were located, and that the initial drawings that were submitted did not show the site conditions accurately. The applicant, Mr. Bill Davis, agreed to a continuation of the application in order to obtain a survey of the project site. The board then made a motion to continue the application to the August meeting, directing the applicant to provide a survey of mean low water, mean high water, and the 1.5 times the tide range line. Next slide. So this then came before the board again at the August meeting. The agent again started the meeting with an overview of the project and presented the survey, which was in the previous slide that I showed you. The survey did show mean low water and mean high water, but did not show the 1.5 times the tide range line, which was requested by the board. The board, after viewing the survey, determined that only the fill behind the bulkhead would be within their jurisdiction. The board then stated that they believed the project location was not a good site for a living shoreline, and they did not discuss any other alternatives. The board then discussed the process for construction of houses on the lots if the project was approved, but determined that a separate application process would need to be followed after they received all of their environmental permits. The board determined that they did not know the amount of fill that would be used or the amount of vegetative wetlands that may be impacted since they did not have the 1.5 times the tide range line in the survey. The agent estimated that about 20 square feet of vegetative wetlands would be filled, and the applicant also agreed to accept a permit condition saying that if more vegetative wetlands would be impacted than permitted, then they would come back before the board. Next slide. So after all of the deliberations, the board did decide to make a decision to approve the application with the following conditions. Add information showing the cubic yards of fill to be used. Pay $240 into the mitigation fund for 20 square feet of impacts to vegetated wetlands. Show county staff the various tide ranges, practically the 1.5 mean tide range. Per the applicant, this approval is contingent on Mr. Governator confirming that only 20 square feet of vegetated wetlands need mitigation. The county has the right to bring this application back to the Wetlands Board if there is any extensive vegetated wetlands impacted, and then add the new drawings to the application. Next slide. After careful review of the application, site conditions, the local wetland board record, BMRC policy, and Virginia state law, staff concludes that the board has erred in the approval of the filling of tidal vegetated and non-vegetated wetlands as proposed. Although the board stated that they believed a living shoreline is not feasible at this location due to fetch, staff believes that further consideration should have been given to VIM's recommendation for construction of a breakwater with spurs, which is a common shoreline erosion control structure used on high-fetch shorelines. The board could have also considered placement of the proposed bulkhead landward of the local wetlands board jurisdiction. Importantly, the applicant intends to create a buildable lot by filling jurisdictional tidal wetlands. The commission's wetland guidelines state that alteration of the shoreline is ordinarily not justified for purposes or activities which can be conducted on existing fast lands and which have no inherent requirement for access to water resources. A house could be constructed on an upland lot without requiring the filling of wetlands. Therefore, the filling of wetlands to create a lot to have a house built on does not meet the wetland guidelines. Accordingly, after evaluation of the merits of the project and after consideration of all the factors contained in 28.2, 1308 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends that the Commission reverse the Accomack Wetlands Board decision and deny the project. And that concludes my presentation. I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Lay. Any members of the Commission have any questions of Ms. Lay?
Chad Ballard.
Mr. Ballard, proceed.
Approximately how long is the fetch and what direction?
I don't have a good measurement on the fetch. It is quite large. It is on Chincoteague Bay, so they do have some fetch coming from the north and the east, which can be problematic during storms.
Okay.
Further questions? And for the record, we are showing that both Mr. France and Mr. Miner are present for this hearing and have been present since the beginning of the hearing. Mr. France, are you on board? Mr. France?
That's him.
Okay. Mr. Miner?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure that y'all were here. We showed you logging in. Any further questions again before I turn it over to the board?
Mr. Bennett, this is Christy Everett.
Ms. Everett, proceed, please.
Yeah. And I don't know if this question is a tiny bit premature, but just reading the staff update as well, question for Allison. If the staff recommendation is to potentially reverse the Accomack County Wetlands Board decision, some of the suggestions that you referred to in this, like such as the VIM's recommendation, just then the board would reconsider that. The applicant could reapply, change it. I mean, I guess I'm wondering the evaluation you've done and the work you've done to kind of verify the most appropriate course of action, does that help the Wetlands Board come to a further decision, or does it just open up a blank slate and the permit is not granted as proposed by the Accomack County Wetlands Board? Does that make sense? Is the question?
I think that might be a legal question at this juncture, as far as what the ramifications are and why it was done. Why it was done will be ultimately up to us as triers of the fact, as we look at this this case. So, Kelsey, would you like to, Ms. Block, would you like to weigh in on this?
I'm sorry. I was getting a lot of feedback during that. Can you repeat the question, please?
Sure. I think the question was just what's up for decision-making here today is whether we follow the staff recommendation of the August decision by the Academic Council at Wetlands Board be reversed. And I guess my question was, beyond that, is there information that came from this analysis and summary which might help either the applicant or the Wetlands Board come to a better or a different decision than they've come, or does it just reject that permit and it's up to the applicant or their agent to kind of change the change what they plan to do?
So you can remand, which would be essentially to send it back to the Wetlands Board for them to do it again. I wouldn't remand with just, you know, do better. I would at least make some statement of, you know, here's what we think they should have considered but didn't consider. The standard is still the same, whether you want to modify the decision, remand the decision, or just reverse the decision. You have to find the Wetlands Board in reaching its decision failed to fulfill its responsibilities on the Wetlands Zoning Ordinance, or the substantial rights of the appellant or the applicant have been prejudiced because the findings, conclusions, or decisions of the board are in violation of constitutional provisions, excess of statutory authority, made unlawful procedure, affected by other error of law, or unsupported by the evidence on the record, or arbitrary, capricious, or abuse of discretion. So, regardless of whether you want to send it back to them or just straight up reverse it, you still need to have a basis in that standard.
Pursuant to Section 28.2.13.13 of the Code of Virginia is what we're dealing with, Ms. Everett. If you have the, that's a very short section in your code book that outlines your responsibilities. Now, this is not a trial de novo. This is basically an examination of whether, not whether their decision was right, wrong, or indifferent, other than as it relates to the specific code section. This is a review of their decision.
Thank you very much. That helped.
Okay. Cool. Further questions of Ms. Lay? All right. Thank you. At the present time, the first person I have to speak is Mr. Earl Frederick, Accomack County Wetlands Board Chairman. Mr. Frederick, are you on board?
Hold on just a second.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am.
Well, could you proceed, please?
Certainly, I have just a short statement that was formulated by the board at our last meeting, our September meeting. And it said it says basically this: the Accomack County Wetlands Board approved fill only for the area in our jurisdiction with the understanding that the applicant would still have to get application approval for the requested bulkhead and any fill lower than mean low water from VMRC. This was made very clear to the applicant, especially the last part of it, about needing approval from VRC for the bulkhead. And I'm currently the chair of the board, and I was thinking back in the 13 years I've been on the board, this is the first application that I remember which has the has a major component of the application outside the board's jurisdiction, and that was problematic to us. We certainly didn't take the discussion of this application lightly in any way, and I think as much as anything, our approval of the fill was based solely upon the idea that VMRC might approve the bulkhead, replacement of the bulkhead. And just like Ms. Lay mentioned, the Hetzel property, the logic behind...
Sir, we can't get into that case at the present time.
Okay.
Can't.
Very good.
Thank you. But you can proceed, please.
For the Grand Bay properties, and that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
That's about it from here.
All right, sir. Fully understand. Any questions by members of the commission for Chairman Frederick? Thank you. The next person that I have is Chris Governator, Accomack County Wetlands Board staff. Mr. Governator, are you on board?
Hold on just a moment. I've got to get to him. He's good.
Mr. Governator?
I'm on board.
Okay. Would you like to address the commission?
No, sir. I don't have anything additional to add to Ms. Lay's information.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Pitt? Agent, are you on board?
He's with Mr. Davis.
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, brother.
Yes, sir. Would you like to address the Marine Resources Commission?
Yes, I would like to address the board. Thank you for letting me have this opportunity. The problem with this situation is this is a previously approved area. Back in 2004, one lot was approved for the installation of a bulkhead. 2003, the other two were. This had already been previously approved by Mr. Badger, who made several visits to the site starting back in 2018, and I had his pictures to prove it. It wasn't a desktop review. Myself, and I believe, I'm not sure if Chris Governor ever made it out, but we looked at it, and he said, as long as we put it exactly in the same footprint, he issued a letter that no permit needed. Upon doing so, we moved forward. Unbeknown to me or the owner, that was a meeting that went back on the site, and his recommendation was and his letter was pulled. So we were in a dilemma, almost had the contractor on site, ready to start the work when we get the letter saying going to the wetland board. We agreed to pay for the 20, if it was at the wetland bill, it actually says 13 square feet. And we said we'll move it up to 20 just to please. We're not trying to do anything that's damaging to the ecosystem. But what we did do, Hank Badger and myself, and also this has approval of the Corps of Engineers. Hank Badger and myself worked on this from 2018, and we picked it. And this morning, we picked this project apart to make sure we're following the RAM and the RIM and the scope of the MRC. And we just don't understand how that his letter got pulled. Basically, unbeknown to us, we checked a fetch out there, and I discussed this with Ms. Lay several times, and we're not trying to create a buildable lot. It's already an establishable lot. All we're doing is going back and filling the area that has eroded. Behind this, these lots, there is a road that if left uncontrolled, the tidal flood, the storm is going to wash that road out. We just want our whole, I believe, we want an understanding of why was the rule by Hank Badger, who made several site visits, had over 20 emails back and forth between myself, Mr. Governor, and Mr. Badger, discussing this, and Mr. Governor actually put in one of the emails, it's a straightforward case. I read the emails, I mailed them out to everyone this morning to see and to read over. So we cannot grasp why Mr. Badger's letter was withdrawn or rewritten Also, the board, I believe, was basing some of the decision on the letter from Hank Badger. And I contacted the Corps again, and the Corps said, we've reviewed it, it is what it is, we approved it, and we're not going to pull it. So I think Bill wants to talk, but I really need to get an understanding of why and how Mr. Badger's letter was pulled.
I don't know about Mr. Badger's letter being pulled. And as far as the jurisdiction that Mr. Badger has at this juncture when he's up there talking to you about the bulkhead, he would be talking to you about what's subaqueous in nature. Wouldn't be talking.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Well, that's not shoreward. That's toward the mean low water mark. We're talking about now the bulkhead that's failing and then the issue that is occurring up behind the bulkhead, I think, is what in the wetlands. In the wetlands board jurisdiction.
Mr.
Oh, just a second. Just a second. Mr. Pitt, did you have any further?
Yes. This was discussed. I mean, this has been going on since 2018 about the filling, and even on the drawing, we weren't going to go with any vegetated wetlands. The vegetated wetlands that's being discussed was something that fell in on just a clump. So we went into depth about this, as over 20 emails about filling behind the bulkhead, even on the drawing, it shows it and it's noted.
Well, let me ask you a question, Mr. Pitt. The Corps during the course of the hearing indicated that, in their words, as far as the report, VIMS recommended that the existing bulkhead be removed and the current shoreline configuration be stabilized by placing a stone breakwater at the center of the site with two stone spurs to the north and south to tie into the adjacent bulkhead. VIMS also commented that although the fetch is long, this type of nearshore breakwater living shoreline can be successfully designed and employed in high energy environments. The board briefly discussed the VIMS recommendation and the problems constructing a bulkhead at this site. So what was your response to the board when they had that discussion?
We did not receive the VIM report till well after we had been permitted by the Corps of Engineers and by BMRC. And the fetch, I have those totals on the fetch. That fetch is northeast 9.52 miles. The fetch to the east is 5.2 miles. And to the southeast, 7.9.
Okay.
So we went into definite details in figuring out what was the best option. And all I can say is their report didn't come out till after that.
Why would you think that's the best option if the bulkhead continues to fail?
No, we want to replace the bulkhead.
That's my point. My point is, why do you think a bulkhead is the best option over VIMS's indication if the bulkhead continues to fail?
I hear you, and I'll explain it. Years ago, we tried in that area when I was with the county as the environmental manager. They put gabion basses out there. They have tried to armor that, and even at Fort Silas at NASA. And what they found out, that in these storms, I'm not being a scientist, I just listened to a lot of the officials talk in that area and been to a lot of the board meetings concerning that area. And even with that, during storm surges, it would have to be at least 2 to 3 feet above, that's the riprap above, to stop further erosion. The reason why we leave the bulkhead would work better, with the buildup of sand behind it, it would naturally, what they would even say with the gabion basket, that it would naturally form a living shoreline. Uh-huh. And I'm sure Ms. Lee has been longer than seen it also.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions? Any questions of Mr. Pitt by members of the commission? All right. Thank you, Mr. Pitt. Mr. Bill Davis, Grand Bay Properties, is the applicant. Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Would you like to address the commission, please?
Yes, I would.
Proceed, please.
Okay. One thing that I think is extremely important, you should always be able to trust and without question believe the people that are working for these state agencies. And I think, you know, when they make a recommendation or they make a statement, it should be, you should absolutely believe they're telling the truth. Ms. Lay, during her, made a statement to the Wetlands Board under oath that Hank just did a desktop job on this project. And, you know,
What kind of job?
That Hank Badger had just done a desk chop review. He hadn't been, basically she was implying he had not, well, saying he had not been out to the site.
Right.
That was absolutely not true. She did not tell the truth under oath.
Wait a minute. I'm going to have to just take just a little exception, and I'm going to ask her in a minute. There's a big difference I'm running the meeting. Just a minute, sir. There's a big difference between someone lying, as you are indicating that she has, or not telling the truth, or being mistaken. And I will get into the gravamen of that assertion in a little while. But if you're going to go down the path and use this immediately to impugn the integrity of a state employee that's doing their job, I would say that's not the right direction to be going in. So if you've got direct evidence that she has lied, that she knew ahead of time that the desktop or that the field visit had occurred, you can put that into evidence, and then I'll make the decision as to where we go from there. But please do not go down the path of impugning the integrity unless you have certain facts that you can assert that prove that. So proceed, please.
No, I understand that. All I wanted to say is that that's something that should be asked. I'm not saying she lied intentionally. I don't know, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's something that should be looked into. So I just wanted to get out of there. That's all I wanted to say on it.
All right.
These lots are. I'm not creating buildable lots. I just want to restore them to where they were.
Yes, sir.
So that's all I'm trying to do. And I tried to do all this correctly. You know, I didn't go right there. I didn't try to fill them. I didn't try to do work. We went through the correct process. And to have the no permit necessary letter from Hank and have it rescinded, you know, something's not right. That shouldn't be done. He spent a lot of time on this and effort, and he made his decision. And for someone to come behind there and change it, to me, that just doesn't seem right.
Okay, let me.
So that's all I have.
All right, let me. I don't. Okay, understand. Any questions of Mr. Davis by members of the commission? I guess I have one. We keep talking about the letter from Mr. Badger. Does someone have the last letter from Mr. Badger in their hand that was part of the record? Was it entered into the record?
Yes. I mean, we definitely have Hank Badger's letter saying that.
Was it entered into the record at the Wetlands Board hearing?
Yes.
It was. Okay.
Yes.
I'm looking for it now to make sure I can find it because I have the record as well. And what item would that be?
If I may, the date on that letter is May 20th of 2020.
Okay. Hang tight. I need to look up something real fast.
I don't see it.
If it was entered into the record, could you please read it to me?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Okay. This is, you know, addressed to Grand Bay Properties. This is VMRC number 20-0808, It says, Dear Mr. Davis, we have received your application requesting authorization to remove your existing bulkhead and install 150 linear feet of new bulkhead in the same footprint. The proposed project is situated adjacent to your property along Chesapeake Bay on three lots, in number 756, 757, and 758 in the Captain's Cove subdivision, Accomack County. Provided the proposed bulkhead falls within the same footprint as the existing bulkhead as shown on the application drawings and does not encroach channelward of the existing bulkhead, no authorization is required from the Marine Resources Commission. Then it said, for your information, you may need authorization from your local wetlands board and or the Army Corps of Engineers prior to commencing your project. Your application has been forwarded to these agencies.
Okay. I think what we have here is a situation that involves maybe some lack of understanding as far as jurisdiction is concerned. Mr. Badger was approving the bulkhead to be replaced in a specific location. If you note, he said, check with the wetlands board. That's why we are here today. It's not what Mr. Badger said as far as that bulkhead is concerned. What we're dealing with is what is shoreward or toward the wetlands board's jurisdiction of that bulkhead and how that specific area is managed. So what Mr. Badger gave was not approval to fill the back of that bulkhead. So that's why we're here today.
I'm sorry, if I may.
Who is this, sir?
This is Bill Davis.
Mr. Davis?
If I may, I just wanted to say, how do we address, we had a letter from Mrs. Lay that saying that this Hank's letter was rescinded. So, you know, that's...
I'll ask that question. Ms. Lay, are you familiar with what he's talking about?
Yes, I am. So during the July meeting, when some revised drawings were submitted and after completing a site visit myself, I saw that there were going to be subaqueous lands that were going to be filled or were proposed to be filled in the application. I felt that Hank's NPN letter, or no permit necessary letter that was just read for you, did not convey that a permit would be required for the filling of those subaqueous lands. And I did send a letter stating that we were rescinding Hank's previous letter and that we would be requiring a permit for the filling of subaqueous lands.
Okay. All right. Mr. Watkinson?
Yes, sir.
Care to comment on that?
Yeah, I think what we have here is a situation where if you look at those pictures and the revised drawings, it tells the story. After Allison visited the site and looked at the information that we had and the conditions there, we realized that a BMRC permit would be required for filling state-owned submerged lands that exist along that site based on the plans that we were getting from the applicant. And as a result, the proper thing to do was let the applicant know that it did require a permit and that the letter that they received from Hank was basically incorrect and therefore rescinded, and we would have to issue a permit eventually if the project got through the wetlands board.
Okay. So what we have here is the employee made an error in wrongly advising that this would not require a permit. Upon secondary examination, the employee, Ms. Lay, now indicates that the matter is under the jurisdiction of the Wetlands Board and the Marine Resources Commission, and a permit would be required. So although it is unfortunate that Mr. Badger provided that letter. And I personally don't take any pleasure in hearing this in this forum. We still have the situation at hand to deal with. What he did has nothing to do with what we're dealing with now pursuant to Ms. Lay's case and the case of the Wetlands Board. The courts have ruled many times that government can make a mistake, and just because they do make a mistake, although it's not a mistake that one, especially the agency head, likes to know about and hear about, it's still the government's responsibility to ensure that the laws of the Commonwealth of Virginia are applied and upheld. So we're back to where we were.
Mr. Commissioner, if I may add just one thing.
Yes, ma'am, you may. This, then, for the record, this is Kelsey Block, Office of the Attorney General. Please.
I'd just like to reiterate, even under the first letter that Mr. Badger sent, he never said anyone was exempt from the Wetlands Board jurisdiction, and that is all we are here on today. So this error in the rescinding of the letter really has no bearing on this permit or this review.
My point exactly, and thank you for the clarification. Any questions by members of the commission for at this juncture for anyone that's spoken to give an opportunity to flesh this out? Okay, at this time, Mr. Frederick, you have 3 minutes Ms. Lay, do you have any further questions or comments?
No, I have no further questions.
Mr. Frederick, do you have any comment as chairman of the board?
No, not really. I think the situation still exists that we approved only for fill within our jurisdiction. And I, again, like to reiterate that the applicant was well informed that he still had to go through DMRC for approval of any other part of the application outside of our jurisdiction, the filling of subaqueous and the replacement of the bulkhead.
And I think by giving them that heads up, you did exactly what you should have done. So the issue that we're dealing with now is what was behind the bulkhead shoreward. So with that, the matter's before the commission for discussion and action. Any questions?
Yes, this is Dr. Neal.
Dr. Neal?
What started out as a pretty simple thing to me has now become a very confusing thing to me. And so what we're trying to determine here is whether the Wetlands Board did not do their job properly.
Not necessarily properly, but pursuant to the law.
All right. Okay. All right. But then a lot of the things that we're discussing, why we should overturn their decision, seems to be based on things that are in VMRC's ballpark. And so things like what VIMS recommended, that's us and not them. And so I guess this is a legal thing, again, to our counsel. You know, it's becoming, I'm not so sure that this is really a wetlands thing. It's just what we need to discuss later when they have to come to a permit before us. And so I guess I'm back to Ms. Block.
Ms. Block?
If you're asking what basis you could reverse or remand this decision on, I don't know if that's a legal question. I can basically just tell you what the statute says again. It does sound as if this is, you know, going to be coming up for, like, its own permit for VMRC. I'm not sure there's much more guidance I can give you without, you know, trying to review the facts and tell you which facts you should look at, which I would not presume to do that in any case.
Can I rephrase a little bit?
Please, Dr. Neal.
I guess my question, I guess the way I'm seeing this question, I may be seeing this incorrectly, is that what the Wetlands Board sounds like they have done is they have assumed future approval. Their statement is that we are allowing this fill if DMRC allows this bulkhead. And so if we make the assumption that we did allow this bulkhead, or we will in the future, was their decision to allow this fill incorrect? And so that, I guess, maybe that's a question for staff now. If this bulkhead was going to be redone, would doing this backfill be an incorrect decision or failing in the process?
Okay, Dr. Neal, I think I understand your question a little bit better. I would relate this to sort of how we review permits when there's an Army Corps permit pending. All of our permits are always conditional on, you know, you need all the permits. So if we approve something, but then the Army Corps doesn't, well, sorry, you're out of luck, right? So legally, I don't know that the Wetlands Board had to wait for us and really get the time frames. I don't know that they even could have.
Mike is doing it now.
Okay. Allison, do me a favor, if you would, as these are part of the record, explain the jurisdiction of VMRC on the pictures that you have up in front of you, if you can see them, and what's the jurisdiction of the Wetlands Board and why we have a why we believe that didn't fulfill their responsibility graphically on these pictures.
Okay, so the mean low water line is landward of the existing failed bulkhead. So there is a portion of this where you see the water in this photo. There is a portion of that is proposed to be filled and would be within VMRC's jurisdiction and would require a permit from VMRC. Once you get between the mean low water line and the mean high water line for non-vegetated areas, that is within the Wetlands Board's jurisdiction, as well as any vegetated areas that are up to 1.5 times the tide range, which is why the board had asked for a survey. So there is another portion of the water closer to the sandy flat area within the photo that is proposed to be filled and would be within the Wetlands Board jurisdiction. I hope that helps to clear things up. The survey may also be another slide that we could look at that could show that as well.
But while we're looking for that, that last picture depicted likely a high water scenario, a high tide scenario. Had the water been out, we would have had the opportunity to see what was in the jurisdiction of the Wetlands Board, not just non-vegetated, but the vegetated as well. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. And now that the survey is up, you can see the dark blue line, which is the mean low water line, and then the light blue line, which is the mean high water line. So the area in between those two lines is within the Wetlands Board's jurisdiction. And then the area channelward of the blue, the dark blue line, is within VMRC's jurisdiction.
Further questions of members of the commission?
I'd like to propose a motion if I could, Commissioner Bowman.
Proceed.
Okay, I'd like to propose upholding staff recommendation to reverse the ACMAC Wetlands Board decision for filling 20 square feet of vegetated wetlands and 2397 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands.
Does that include and also deny any permit?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Staff recommendation was, if I remember correctly,
yes, you said denying the permit?
Yes.
Yes, correct.
And denial does not prevent the applicant from reapplying in modified form to address their erosion control needs. Is there a second to the motion?
This is Dr. Neal. I'll second it. And so that, I'll just leave it at that. I'll second it.
Mr. France?
Mr. Bowman, could I?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if now is the appropriate time for a comment, but I just noticing something in staff recommendations comments. I do think it is really important to note, and I know this came up in the discussion by the applicant or agent. I do find it of importance that the applicant could have intended to create a buildable lot by filling the jurisdictional title wetlands. And again, I just think that's a very important point. I don't know if that's necessarily something that needs digging into further, but I find that somewhat striking. So just wanted to mention that and call that out in staff recommendation for consideration by other commissioners.
While you're on there, I also find it compelling that after the VIMS report, VIMS recommended, the Virginia Institute of Marine Science recommended that the existing bulkhead be removed and the current shoreline configuration be stabilized by placing a stone breakwater at the center of the site with two stone spurs to the north and south that tie into the adjacent breakwater. Also commented that although the fetch is long, this type of nearshore breakwater living shoreline can be successfully designed and employed in high energy environments. That the board briefly discussed the VIMS recommendation and the problems of constructing a bulkhead at the site. So I also am strongly swayed by the VIMS comment. Motion made by Ms. Everett, second by Dr. Neal. Call the roll. Mr. France? Mr. France?
I vote yes to support the motion.
Thank you. Mr. Tankard?
Aye.
Dr. Neal?
Aye.
Mr. Ballard?
Aye.
Mr. Miner?
Aye.
Ms. Lusk?
Aye.
Ms. Everett?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes to reverse, deny the permit of the Wetlands Board of Accomack County. Now, let me say this, as I always have. I know we've got another case coming, but the Commonwealth of Virginia very, very much appreciates the hard work and diligent work of our Wetlands Boards. So I just need to make sure that that is on the record as well.